When Robin said he was going on vacation, he sent out an email to Ron, Richie, and I, and Ron looked straight at Richie and I and said, "You guys figure it out," because he'd been up here before. So Richie and I hadn't been up here as often, and I lost the coin toss. So now you get to hear from me. So a couple things. I love statistics. Pattern recognition is one of the things I do at my day job. But a couple interesting statistics. First off, the average college class is 50 to 90 minutes long. All right, so college, you're at college, I mean, obviously. So is that true, 50 to 90 minutes? All years are 90? Okay, perfect. All right, the average college student gets 10 to 15 minutes of information out of that 50 to 90 minutes. That's how long they gather, because they start thinking about, something else. Like laying out by the river and chilling and getting a tan, or, what's going on later, or I really want to watch that next episode of Friends. Something to that effect. So that's going on. So 10 to 15 minutes is all they get out of it. So why would it be 50 to 90 minutes long? I figure they'd just shrink it. All right, so something else statistic. 2000, Microsoft did a study. Everybody knows who Microsoft is. They said the average attention span of an adult is 12 seconds long. It was in 2000. Average attention span, 12 seconds. That was in 2000. They also did a study that the average attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. All right, so in 2016, they did the study again. Because you got a scientific study. They found that the average attention span of adults today in the digital world is now 8 seconds. Well, guess what? You have less attention span than a goldfish. I don't know if that's funny or not, but I found that interesting. So a couple things that happened when I said, told my son, I said, "Hey, guess what? I'll be preaching this on a day." And he says, "Great, that means we're going to beat the Baptist to lunch. Going to be the short sermon." He was so excited. I don't know if that's the real but that's the way their mind thinks. So, video games these days are built into that equation of that 8 seconds. They say if teenagers today or kids today, if they're not getting some kind of new action every 8 seconds, they're not going to play that game again, because that's the length of their attention span. So we have less attention span than a goldfish. If I preach for 90 minutes today, you're only going to get 10 to 15 minutes out of the sermon today. So I figure we're going to shrink it down. We're going to beat the Baptist today, but we're going to get about 15 minutes today. And I'm filling a lot of that space up right now. So, ticket of the day. You see on your front page, your bulletin, there is a free ticket to heaven. One of my favorite movies as a kid. I'll never forget. And the song, I can't remember the whole thing, but the part that sticks in my head, you guys know it still today. "Cause I got a golden ticket. I got a golden twinkle in my eye." Everybody knows that, right? And we went through life as a kid thinking about that golden ticket because it was super special. It was awesome. And you started looking for one, because if you got a golden ticket, that means you had something nobody else had. Something or very few people had. And just the wondrous place to go to that chocolate factory and an everlasting gobstopper that would last, piece of candy that would last forever and ever and ever. That was amazing. How many times I went around and collected cans so I could go get a gobstopper that didn't last forever, so I had to buy some more? But I think 50 years, I'm pretty sure of it. But I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. Let's talk about heaven today. The place we all want to get to. The place we all hope we get to. Pastor was visiting an old man, the story, and walked in and doing his weekly visits. Walked in the old man's house and he says, "You're getting kind of old. You start to be thinking about the hereafter." And he said, "Well, I do that all the time. I walk into this room, I walk into this room, and I want to keep wondering what I'm doing here for. But get into the heaven. How hard is it? How special is it? How do we get a ticket? Well, let's talk about what heaven is, what it looks like. The Bible in Revelation gives us a vast description of what heaven looks like. And, even though we hear this, description, I don't think we really comprehend what it's there because we have nothing to reference it on. So heaven is 1,400 miles wide, long, high. 1,400 miles. I can't see that far. You can't see that far in the clearest day in an airplane. You can't see that far. The walls of heaven are 200 feet thick. There's gates made of a single pearl. The streets are made of gold, so clear, like a flash. Everything's made with some of the precious gemstones that we know of today. It's beautiful, they say. But the comprehension of heaven is such that you can't know what it looks like to get there. It's precious. We all want to get there, and we all think we're going to get there, but the Bible says not everybody is going to get there. It says the road is long, it is wide. The path to heaven is narrow. In fact, if you go into Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, it actually shows the fate of those not going to heaven. It says, those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of the burning sulfur, the second death. No, we don't think about heaven a lot because it's painful. It's hard to think about heaven. It's that place that's so far off from now. I'm going to live forever. You know, I don't have to worry about that right now. You know, C.S. Lewis said there's one thing that's going to happen. You're going to live and you're going to die. The statistics for finding out if you're going to heaven are 1-to-1. You're going to find out one way or the other, one day or another. Not today, maybe not tomorrow, but at some point you're going to find out if you get to go. And everybody wants to have one of these. What was the song? I got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. Y'all can have to sing this by the end of the day, I promise. Or if you don't know it, you're going to know it. So the end Christians contemplate, it's hard because it's nothingness. It's out there. But does heaven matter? Let's ask that question first. Does heaven matter? Well, let's take a poll here. If I took a poll and says, does heaven matter? You know, CNN, fake news, maybe not, but CNN did a poll not so long ago that said that in America today, 94% of Americans believe there is a heaven, all right? They also 94% of people believe in God. 75% of people believe in heaven. 75% of people believe they're going to go there for whatever reason. I'm a good person. I've killed anybody. Go to church last week? Nope. But I'm still a good person. It's okay. I got my ticket to heaven. So most people in today believe in the afterlife, and most people believe they're going to go there, but most people don't know how to get there. So why does heaven matter? We talked about earlier, I mentioned the second death, and that sounds terrible. The scriptures mentions that it's a fiery pit that you will burn for eternity. JD mentioned to me once, and I'll never forget it, in my younger years, he said, I like it hot. I've told this story a few times, and I asked him, you know, why do you like it hot? I think being hot and sweaty is terrible. In fact, my wife and daughter think being hot and sweaty is terrible. Most people do, and he says, I like it hot because it reminds me of a place I don't want to go. It sits. I'll never forget that. Did he was so forward thinking of that thought. And then, why does heaven matter? Because where will you be 1 minute after you die? Minute, second, we don't know. None of us have been there yet. But I know I was listening to a video, and a guy was talking about his grandfather who passing, he felt like he believed he was very Christian man, and he was dying, and he just was dormant. And then all of a sudden, right before he passed, he woke up. He said, your last senses, they think scientists think you hear, is your hearing. He woke up and he said, amazing. I love you all. And then he passed. Now, he doesn't know what happened, but, you know, in his mind, he thinks, he made it. If I can say I'm amazing, that's where I want to be 1 minute after I die. We all have an appointment. Atheists today have said, well, some of the most prominent atheists have said that if we worry about going to heaven, you can't enjoy your life on earth at all. That sounds silly to me. They said, you know, they say you're going to miss all the partying, you're going to miss all the fun. How are you going to be able to enjoy your life while you're here if you're only worried about how you're going to get to heaven? My dad, some of you know, got to be one of the most physically miserable people on the planet. He's 5'1", walked with a limp all his life. His back has hurt his entire life. He has the most awful scoliosis that I just don't know how he dealt with it. And I've never seen him complain about it. I've never seen him worry about it. I asked him once, I said, you know, Dad, don't you ever think you got a bad shake in life? He just said, nope. And I'll never forget, he said, this thing is just temporary. If I do what I'm supposed to do, if I love the Lord with all my heart, and I follow his path, then I get to be in a place that this body doesn't matter anymore. I've always envisioned my dad, who can't run, can't jump, he's a basketball coach for 25 years. Okay. I can see him with that thought later on in life of running and jumping, something he's never, ever been able to do in his entire life. And I hope he gets there. Do I know he's going to get there? I don't know. Jesus said there's two roads in life. He said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is broad. It leads to destruction. And there are many who go through it. How narrow is the gate? Difficult the roads that lead to life, and few find it. The broad road leads to judgment, destruction, and hell. On that road, people seem to be having a wonderful time. It's a great party atmosphere. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is their motto, but there is emptiness, loneliness, and insecurity. I was taking a senior photo of a young lady recently the other day, and she came out of nowhere. She said, I'm trying to live life, not long. I'm trying to live life, not long. And I thought I was just, that's too easy. They don't have that, they're not worried about what could be tomorrow. Or they don't know what could be tomorrow. The narrow road leads to heaven. Traveling on that road is, wow, it's difficult. Quite frankly, sometimes it sucks, for the lack of a letter but word. You don't get to go do some of the things your friends get to do. You don't get to go get hammered. You don't get to go to the lake on Sunday. You don't get to not learn about your God. You don't get to party your tail off. You don't get to do that on the narrow road. On the long road, you can live life not long and party for a short time. Eternity sounds terrible. It sounds long. It sounds miserable. I read that there's a cemetery in Indiana that on the tombstone wrote, the best is yet to come. Some stranger came by, unbeknownst, authored on the bottom of that tombstone. It says, the way we go, the road we take, the final destination is determined in his lifetime. At death, our eternal destiny is unalterably fixed.
altar be fixed. So what right do we have to get into heaven? Every man and every woman gets that choice through all their lifetime of what we, of where we go in the end. He said life is like a merry-go-round without the merry. Getting into heaven is, can be joyous. Your life can be joyous. Your life can be filled. I was watching another video this morning. This guy, the dad of Duck Dynasty. What's his name? Phil Robertson. An interesting character. He was sitting in his camouflage chair. He was talking about Santa Fe, New Mexico. Santa Fe, Texas. What happened just 2 days ago there was terrible, miserable. 10 students killed. And he said, the problem with America today, people today, is they've lost love. They don't know what love is anymore. I've had to think about that long and hard this morning. I'm like, you know, I know what love is. I love my children, I love my wife. And he said, we all love ourselves, we all love our immediately family, but we don't understand what love means. So what right do we have to get in heaven, and how do we get there? So in the back of your bulletin there, I've provided you a checklist of everything you need to do to get into heaven. It's a 20-point checklist. It's really not there. There isn't an advanced checklist of knowledge that I can give you that gives you the right to get into heaven for you to walk around with. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. There's no checklist for it. The checklist, though, you think about it, you hear people say, well, I tithe every week. I went to church every Sunday. I baptized some people. I got baptized myself. I went to church. I helped people out. I gave away money. I never killed anybody. I never stole anything. I tried never to lie to anybody. I'm a great person. So check, 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 check. In the scriptures it says, when after you pass, everybody's going to go before the Lord. And it says a story about, Lord, didn't I in your name do this? Didn't I in your name do this? Didn't I in your name do that? And the Lord looks at him and says, what? I never knew you. So I'm going to break down your checklist for you. Is how do you get into heaven? I'm going to break it down in three simple steps of your preparation. Not for this ticket, but for a different ticket. This ticket says to heaven. I broke it down into three simple steps. Now remember, I said the path to heaven is narrow. The scriptures give us a detailed idea of what needs to happen for you to go to heaven. The first one, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That's step one. What is that like? If you want to know what that love is like, think about when you saw your first child or your first grandson. The love you felt that. That's the love God wants. Because if you think about it, he loved you enough and he paid it all. That love is difficult to comprehend. It is tough to give all of you, give all your love to someone you never met through faith that Jesus died for. Secondly, he said in Mark 16:16, he says, what must I do to get in heaven? He said, believe and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the mission of your sin, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's step two. So love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Believe and be baptized, every single one of you, for the remission of your sins, to get the gift of the Holy Spirit.
And finally, he said, live a Christian life. Love, live, learn, share, teach people about your Lord. That's how simple the path is. But that's really hard. To love someone every day, learn about someone every day. It's like getting interested in that new book. You can't put it down. You just got to keep reading. The Lord wants you to think about Him like that all the day. That's the love He expects you to have for Him. That's hard. Who gets into heaven? Well, nobody knows. Nobody knows at all. The path is narrow. Everybody has to go at the end to the pearly gates and have the Lord say, come on in. Can you see the gleefulness of the people going in? Because He even said, I want everybody to come. He says that in the Scripture. It makes Him excited. It makes Him happy. He wants everybody to skip through church and say, I've got a golden ticket. I'm not going to skip all the way around, though. I thought about it in the start of this sermon. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. That sounds amazing. To get a golden ticket. Because it's something special, and it's something you can take with you forever. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You got to be baptized. You got to do it. That's the only way to get in. And you got to live your life as a Christian life. Learn, live, teach, love, all those other little things. That's the check. All those other little things just fit into those three things. But if you think about it, the first one, as Phil Robertson said in the video I was watching, if you love something, you give it your all. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you got to take it. You can skip through church and say, you know, sing with me. I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden twinkle in my eye. If you haven't made that choice yet, to spend eternity with Him, follow the step. Follow the path. Entrance into heaven is not limited to one ethnic group, certain social stature, a certain person, how much money you have, how much money you don't have. It's all determined to get in by the people that love the Lord, your God, with all you got. And you got a chance for Him to say, I then you can sing that other song. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let's close with a word. Dear Heavenly Father, the path to You is narrow. I pray this morning that the message of everybody wanting a golden ticket, everybody wanting the opportunity to get to see You. But I hope that everyone heard the part of, I've got to love You with all I got. And sometimes that is hard. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't know how to give You all that we have. But my prayer this morning is that You give us all the strength, the guidance, the hope, the willingness, the knowledge that we can learn how to love You with all we have. May we all take the path to be able to get to You so You can have us in the end look at us and say, I know Christ in You. Stand up here with me this morning. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you feel the call, please come forward and come join me and profess your willingness to be with him.